to look tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I do appreciate the good choir singing tonight. Wonderful songs that we've sung. Amen. But look in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, "It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. I have that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee." And that's a wonderful, wonderful verse in the Bible. I'm glad that God's grace is sufficient for whatever we go through. No matter what we face, no matter what happens in our life, God's grace is always real. God's grace is always sufficient. It will always be present on time. We may not see it when we think we need to, but God's grace is always there. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Be seated tonight, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, and that again, for another wonderful Sunday night that you've given us to come to your house. Lord, I ask you that you'd help us tonight as we preach. I pray for a touch in that from heaven. Lord, that you'd come by and you'd strengthen us, that you'd give us the words that these folk need to hear tonight. Oh, Lord, that we could be a blessing to them, not anything that we do in ourselves, but in that trying to be led and have the Holy Spirit tonight. God, we ask and pray that if there's somebody here that's lost, that you'd save them, bring them to a place of repentance tonight, that they'd move and come and get saved. Help the one tonight that is struggling, the one that's looking for something, needing something from you, needing your grace to be evident in their life tonight. I pray that you'd make it evident to them. Lord, I do thank you for this church, for each one that's in it. Lord, knit us together as a family. Keep the devil far from it tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to serve you tonight. Lord, I pray you'd forgive us now where we fail you many, many times. And Lord, I'm sorry for all my failures that I have done before you. Many failures in comparison to my successes tonight. But Lord, I want you to know that I'm sorry for all my failures. And Lord, we come before you tonight just thanking you and that for your grace that is sufficient. Meet with us now and help us and save somebody and save that sinner's news tale for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and pray, amen and amen. As the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth right here, and he deals and these verses are very familiar to us tonight and should be. And we deal a lot with grace. We talk about grace out of this verse right here, how God's grace is evident, how God's grace is sufficient, and how that God will always come by. And let me say that, that's just not a cliche tonight. That's real, amen, for the people of God, for the child of God. But I want to deal with tonight, if I could, with the last part, verses 9 and 10. I want to deal with the part where the Apostle Paul said that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Where he said in verse 10, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." Now the word power simply means and that force or the strength in performing anything. I think we understand what it means to have power. Power to walk, power to work, power to do whatever we need to get done. The ability and the way of accomplishing to make it happen. Hey, can I tell you tonight that in our physical body and in our physical realm and in our physical power, we cannot and that accomplish spiritual matters. Do you understand? I mean, I understand that we do things in our body tonight and act for the Lord, but it's not going to be by our power that anything gets done. Now, I'm going to talk to you tonight, preach to you tonight, and that with a preacher's view on the power of God. I'm going to refer a lot of times into that with preaching and that with the power of God. But let me say tonight that anything that you do for Christ needs to be done in His power. Whether it's teaching the Sunday school class all the way from these little ones all the way up to the adult class, and that must be done in the power of God. If it's witnessing, done in the power of God. And listen, it's real tonight, the power of God is. I remember Brother Ted, as we'd talk over the years, me and Brother Pegram, when we'd talk, he'd get ready to go preach, or maybe we was at a meeting together and he was going to preach it. He'd say, "Son," he said, "just pray and that for the touch of God." And I knew what he meant right there. He just meant that God would come by and the power of God would be evident in the preaching tonight. Listen, we can harness in that the earth's power. We've harnessed its water and made it work for us. We've harnessed its wind. Listen, when we was in Oklahoma, we seen windmills as far as the eye could see out through there. And every one of them was turning. Amen. One feller said there, there'll be a whole bunch of them turning out there and there'll be one dead stop because the barren's locked up on it. That would be my windmill, he said. Listen, but we've harnessed that to wind. We've learned how to harness the power and that of the sun and make electricity. And by the way, as I studied this, I thought about how all three of those are dangerous when they're used wrong. Listen, water has great power and wind has great power. Hey, there's one thing I wanted to see. That's the first time I'd ever been west of the Mississippi. I my whole life was just the other day. And I said, I'd like to see a tornado, but way off out yonder. Amen. I'd like to see one, but I needed to be out there about 4 or 5 miles. Amen. And I wouldn't mind saying, I wanted it in somebody's field so that it ain't damaging nobody's homes. Amen. But I'd like to see one. I've always been mesmerized by those things. But wind is very dangerous. Sun is very dangerous, by the way. It can burn you and burn you up. But we've learned how to harness the power in that of what God has given us on the earth. I want you to understand tonight when we do spiritual matters and in spiritual things, it's not in our own power. It's really not. John 15 and 5, and I'm glad that I've learned this verse and I've tried to been living by this verse for a long time. But the end of that verse, Jesus told his disciples, he said, "For without me, you can do nothing." And whether it's preaching, or whether it's witnessing, or whether it's living our life in front of people, whether it's running your home in a spiritual matter, you can do nothing without Christ. He said, "For without me, you can do nothing." I'm kind of reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 where he's talking about charity over there when he said, if we have not charity, then we're no more than sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. And I kind of think that's the way preachers are sometimes, that we try to stand up in our own power and try to get something done for God when if we would have spent time with God, we might have had His power. All through the Bible, we see God's power is evident. God does things. Jesus done things when there was no, let me see how I can say this, that was against the physical realm that we know. When His disciples needed Him the most, He walked on water. When the children of Israel faced the Red Sea in front of them and the Egyptian army behind them, what did God do? He parted the Red Sea. And then not only did he part the Red Sea, but the Egyptians was dumb enough to go riding in there in the middle of all that, and God closed it up and killed them. And so we have seen God's power. If I spent a lot of time on this, we could be here all night. But we see the power of God. Whether it's in preaching or teaching or in witnessing, we need it tonight. Now there's a lot of points to this. I'm just going to deal with one tonight. Has God been our helper? But I want you to look at what the Apostle Paul said. He said right here, he said, "Most gladly therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Tonight, can I tell you that first of all, that the power of God, the power of Christ in our life is going to be evident through suffering. Paul was suffering right here. You need to know, nobody that I know likes to suffer. You ever run into anybody that got up one morning and said, "Boy, I just can't wait to suffer today for Jesus. I can't wait in that to just for it all just to pour down on top of me and wait for it to come and say, I want to suffer so that He can be seen in me." I want you to take your Bible tonight and go to the book of Philippians chapter 3 tonight. Well, if there's any man that ever had an understanding in that of Christ Jesus the Lord, I believe it was the Apostle Paul. And I've read this verse many times and looked over it many times. I've preached out of this verse before. But if you look in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, he said, "And being found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Now we're not standing in ourself, amen. We're in His right. Look in the next verse. Look what Paul says in verse 10. "That I may know Him." Paul said, "I want to know Christ." He said, "That I may know Him." And look what he said, "and the power of His resurrection." We like to talk about that. Well, I like to know Him in the power of His resurrection. Talking about being born again, saved, and that brought up from the old man to the new man, to know that power of the spiritual resurrection. But look what Paul said in the very next part of that verse. He said, "I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection." Then look here, "and the fellowship of His suffering." But when you begin to think about that for just a second, that changes your whole outlook on things. Paul said, "I want to know and what it's like to fellowship with Christ in suffering." Can I tell you tonight that we're the closest and that to Jesus? I honestly believe that in fellowshipping with Him when we're suffering. He knew what it meant to suffer. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He suffered for me and you. Now the Bible does tell us in the book of Hebrews that we do have a great high priest that is touched with our feelings of our infirmities. So the Apostle Paul said, "That I may know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." So I come and I look at these verses right here. And if it takes, listen, it takes, I honestly believe, it takes suffering to have power. We may not necessarily be sick and suffering. Are you saying that I can't do something for Christ without suffering? Hey, I'm going to be honest with you tonight. Paul said, "I want to know Him in the fellowship of His suffering." I think if we're going to understand and know the power of Christ and know the power of God in our life, that friend, there's going to have to be some suffering that goes on. I don't know anybody that likes it. I'm not saying the Lord knows that I certainly don't want to suffer before the night's over with. But listen, Paul was not glorifying himself. Look what he said in verse 5 of the text scripture. He said, such a one, talking about that one that was caught up into heaven. I believe he was talking about himself, probably when they stoned him outside of Lystra. He said, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Paul said, look, I'm going to glory in my weaknesses. I'm going to glory in what's wrong. Why would he say that? You look at the last part of verse 9, and he said, I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessity, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So Paul in that, instead of glorifying in what he was able to accomplish, instead of glorifying in what God had accomplished through his life, he was going to glory in the weaknesses. He was going to glory in his infirmities, knowing that what was wrong with him and that was going to keep him and that lowly and in humility and in humbleness before God. Verse 7, look what he said. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. Paul said, look, I could have got high and I could have got mighty. God had brought many revelations to me. God had showed me things. God had used me. Listen, Brother Jeff talked about Paul being on the backside of the desert in Arabia this morning in Sunday school. Listen, God had took him back there and taught him and was fixing to use him when he come out of there, and God did use him. And listen, Paul could have got exalted. When we get used to God, a lot of times, if we ain't careful, we'll get exalted in ourselves. And Paul said, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. As I heard in that message today, to beat on, he said, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul said, look, he said, He said, I've learned that it's not me. He said, I've learned that it's not me that's done all these things, but it's Christ. Let me put it to you another way. You remember when Brother Ralph came and preached our mission conference, and he made a statement about giving your money to missions. And he said, God will give more through you than he will to you. And there's a lot of truth to that. If you're determined in that to give money to missions, God will just use you and let you give all the money that you want to give. I really believe that tonight. If you'll be determined in your heart to give. Can I tell you tonight that God can use more power through you than giving power to you? You understand that tonight? God can let you shine or let you do things, friend, for Him, that He and that might shine through you. Hope I'm making sense tonight. But Paul was not going to glorify himself, and it was in his weakness that he was made strong. Notice what he said. He said he would glory. He would glory what? He would glory in his infirmities, in his sicknesses, in his weaknesses, in his reproaches when he was being reproached. And that for Christ, for what Christ, who he was and what he done, and for what Paul was preaching. He said, in necessities, when I have wants, he said, when I have done without, he said, in persecutions, when folk are against me, and that for what I preach and for what I teach, he said, in distress, when I am in danger, for Christ's sake, he said, look, for all those things, I'll glory in them, because that's what's going to bring the power of Christ upon my life. That does not sound exciting tonight, does it? Most of the time, I'll be honest with you, church, I want to go into my study. I want to study for about 45 minutes to an hour. Get heaven rain down in there. Pray for about 15, 20 minutes. And expect God to just come by and enlighten y'all when I preach. And boy, manna fall from heaven. And boy, and we walk out of here and say, God, I came by. And listen, it just don't work that way. I think a lot of preachers think it works that way, but it don't work that way. I have learned over the past few years that it's no fun to suffer with some things. Some weaknesses that show up in our life. What did the Lord say? He said, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Christ's strength in our life is made perfect when we're at our weakest point. To have the power of God in our life, there must be suffering. Some say, "Well, boy, I tell you, and the power of God must be evident in my life." For some people it is, but you know, for not all suffering is used to bring His power. Some suffering is because of sin. You know, the Bible said in the book of, in the book of Proverbs that the way of a transgressor is hard. You know, and that's saved and unsaved. I mean, if you want to get wrong with God being saved, listen, the way of a transgressor is hard. I think it's harder for a saved person that's in sin than it is for a lost person that's in sin. Why? A lost person's just in sin. I mean, they're dying in their sin. They're going to die and go to hell. And they need to get saved. There's no doubt about that. But that saved person right there, they're more than just in sin. They've got the Holy Spirit inside of them. I tell them that they're wrong, and God, I will start beating the fire out of you after a while. I've watched some preachers get in a weakness and get in a sickness. I'm thinking of one right now. And he let it beat him. Sometimes the weakness gets the better of people. I don't want that to happen. I'd want to be like the Apostle Paul over there, where he said that most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmity. I'm not asking for an infirmity. I'm not asking for suffering. I'm not asking for these things to come. And I think you'd be a little crazy to myself. But he said, "I will rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul said, "I understand that God has done this for a reason." Paul said, "I understand that it's to keep me humble before Him, though I should be exalted above measure." Do you realize that when pride comes in our life, that the power of God disappears? When pride is evident, the power of God dissipates in our life. He won't work through pride. Never will. Takes humility. I believe this was the one thing that Paul was learning or had learned by this scripture right here. He said he besought the Lord thrice that the Lord would take that thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan that was buffeting him, that was beating on him over day in and day out. No doubt, I listened. And he said, "God done that. God allowed that. Lest I should be exalted above measure." He said, "I prayed. I sought God three times for him to leave me. And he said, 'My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.'" So in our weakness is when He shines the best. I thought about Gideon as I studied this. And a man who struggled, even though God had told him what to do. You know, God told him, He told him to go down there and tear down his father's altar in the grove unto Baal, didn't He? And Gideon didn't have the courage to do it in the daytime. He went and done it in the nighttime. And God said, "I'm going to lead you, and you're going to defeat the enemy." And so we know that Gideon struggled to get his army. He stood out there with those 32,000 men, and from the time that God got started, He got him all the way whittled down to what? 300. I would say that was weakness, wouldn't you? The Bible said that the enemy, you look out across the valley out through there, and they look like grasshoppers all the way out through there. As far as you could see, they were lined up, the enemy was. And he lays the fleece out, and God answers him. He says, "Lord, don't get angry with me, but let's do it one more time." You ever been there? Got an answer from God, and then said, "Let's just make sure about this thing." I've been there. You know, I've done the Lord like that one time. And I even come to him a third time. He said, "I ain't doing it." He said, "We ain't going down this road." That's kind of, I don't know if the Lord talks to you that way, but that's kind of how I hear him in my head sometimes. And so the Lord answers Gideon again. And Gideon gets his army together and all that. And he tells him, and most of y'all know this. He said, "If you fear, go down and listen to what the enemy has to say. You and your servant Phurah, go down there and you can hear what the enemy has to say." And so God sent him that message through those dreams of that cake rolling in there and defeating all those, falling over on that tin and all those things. And they said, "This is no more than Gideon and his army that's going to come in and destroy us." And the Bible said that he worshiped. Thank God for that. And then he went back and got ready to fight. But let me ask you something. Would you not think to go from 32,000 men because they didn't drink right? And because they were afraid, he went from 32,000 to 300. I would say that that was a pretty weak army, wouldn't you? Think about it for just a second. An army that you could look out and couldn't even number them. And here he stands with 300 men with a pitcher that has a light in it that's covered. And they got a sword in their hand. The Bible, it talked about Gideon in Hebrews chapter 11. And I preached on him not too long ago in the year. And he said, "What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, Jephthah, of David also and Samuel of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of the lion, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Now looky here, out of weakness were made strong." I kind of think that's talking about Gideon. Because after Gideon went out there and they blowed their trumpet and they broke the pitcher that had the light in it and they had their sword and they shouted the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon and they began to whip the enemy down there by God's help. And the Bible said that they put them on the run. In the book of Judges it said, "And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over he and the 300 men that were with him, fain yet pursuing." He was weak. He was wore out. He had an army that was just minute in the side of that other army, but he had them on the run, and he was faint. He was tired. He was wore out. But friend, he was still pursuing, still doing his job. I thought about the Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. In verse 14, he said, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me," and look what he said, "and strengthened me." Paul said that his what? That his strength was made perfect in what? Weakness. Paul's standing alone right here. He was by himself. You know, there's going to come a day that you just may have to stand alone. You may have already stood alone. There may just come a day when nobody else is going to be around. There's nobody else that's going to understand. There's nobody else that's going to know. But friend, you know you're right according to the Word of God. And you're going to have to stand by yourself, but the Lord will be there. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So Paul said, "Listen, I was standing by myself, but yet the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." There's going to come times that you're going to think you're standing alone. You're going to be by yourself. Whether you're in a room full of people, you're going to be by yourself. And it's just going to be you and God. There's been times that I've, not necessarily here, but there have been times that I've stood behind pulpits and I've just thought it's me and God. I might as well have been preaching to a brick wall, man. You ever been there, preachers? You ever been there? You ever been there, Sunday school teachers? You wondering what's going on? But you know that the power of Christ was not given to Paul that he may be seen, but that Christ might be seen in us.
Amen.
I've told you many times, it's not for you to walk out of here and say, boy, what a great message he preached. It's not for you to see me, but for you to see Christ. Paul said, I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. I don't think we can get deep enough in that verse right there.
Amen.
Talking about the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul said, I want to know that. I believe that Paul made that statement to the church at Philippi because he realized that in the fellowship of his sufferings came the power of Christ. How I want to be like Paul.
Amen.
When he makes that statement, most gladly, therefore, I'd rather glory in my infirmities. You know what? You know what Paul's saying? He's making a statement right there when he says that I would rather glory in my infirmities. I'd rather be sick. I'd rather have trouble poured out upon me. I'd rather suffer and know that the power of Christ is on me,
yes,
than to have it made and he ain't nowhere around. Oh, how I want to say that in my heart. But that's such a scary thing to say. Think about that for just a second. I want you to sit there and think about that. For you to look up to heaven and say, I want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to gladly say that I'd rather glory in my infirmities than to glory in the revelations that God has given to me. Take suffering. Suffering. You know, there's going to be some suffering that you go through that nobody else is going to know about. Not everybody knows everything about you. Do you know that? Not everybody should know everything about you. But I'll be honest with you, sometimes you were to share some things with some folk. And so let me tell you what Christ has done for me. Let me tell you what God's done for me and brought me through this right here. Let me show you how he shined through all that, how he came out. I thought about David. What about David when he went to fight Goliath? And I've known that story ever since I was a kid in Sunday school. And I remember the first time that I ever realized that David didn't have a flip, he had a slingshot. So growing up, I always thought he had a flip, you know. And I've told you that story that time Daddy made an actual slingshot. I like to beat myself to death with it, you know. And do you remember when David went out there to fight Goliath? Here stands a man that's 10 feet tall. David's been anointed king over Israel, but he is not king yet. He's probably 16, 17, 18 years old, somewhere like that. Ruddy little feller, of good complexion. But there was something that he knew. He knew God. And he had already been through some battles. Even at that age, David had already been through some battles. He had already fought the bear. He had already fought the lion. And he was doing that over them sheep out there that could not protect themselves. I watched a video the other day of a sheep that was on its back. You know when a sheep gets on its back, it can't do nothing for itself. I watched the shepherd go out there and get him and pick him up and flip him up. I guess it's him. It might have been her. I don't know. I'm sure there's a joke there somewhere, but I'll leave it alone. And he flipped it up and it just took off like everything was okay. But he couldn't do nothing on its back. Kind of like that. And I'm getting off track here, but it's kind of like that one where the shepherd left the 99 and went and looked for that one. Think about that for just a second. Remember, the Bible said that he put it on his shoulder and carried him home. You know, sheep can't do nothing for themselves except eat. It's the shepherd's job to do everything else. But here David is. David's the one that's been protecting his daddy's sheep. David's the one that's been making sure that they're getting fed. David's the one that's sitting out there by himself. Alone. You know, being a shepherd is a lonely job. All he's got, sheep, and possibly a sheepdog. That's all he's got. Think about it for just a second. Sets out there in the rain and watches over his sheep. Sets out there in the blistering sun, watches over his sheep. Brings them in, puts them in a wall, and then sleeps at the gate of the wall right there to make sure that the wolf can't get in to get the sheep. He puts his life on the line for the sheep. Think about that for just a second. So here David is. The battle's going on. He comes in. The Bible tells us, 1 Samuel 17, that his daddy sends him down there to take all that stuff and that to his brethren. The first three brothers are fighting with Saul and fighting against the Philistines. Goliath comes out there in the morning and in the evening. I personally believe that he's coming out there at the time of the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice, and he is cursing the army and the God of Israel. So David says, I'll go fight with him. Saul says he can't go. David tells him a story and he goes. Make a long story short, he gets five smooth stones, puts in his shepherd's crib, and he's carrying his staff, and he's got his slingshot. And the one place that Goliath did not have protected was right here. If you read the story of everything that Goliath had on, between his shield, his armor, his spear, everything that he was carrying, he was not protected right here. Now, can I tell you tonight, I really believe that David was a good shot with that slingshot. But I'm not sure that he was that good of a shot with a slingshot. What do you mean? 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines to stand to the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know. Now look here, that there is a God in Israel. Not that David defeated Goliath. He said, I'm coming so that the world will know there's a God in Israel. Amen. He said, and all this assembly shall know the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And he was slinging that slingshot. He let that thing go. That rock traveled, pow, hit him in the head, knocked him on the ground. David stood on top of him, cut his head off with his own sword, held his head up like this, and the children of Israel run after the Philistines and whooped them. Do you know that for David to have that power, he put his own life on the line? Think about that for just a second. He put his own life on the line to go out there and fight Goliath. How many of us have put our life on the line for Christ Jesus the Lord? We sure don't put our life on the line around here. I mean, we're not under that much persecution. We ain't under no persecution. In this little place here, we're not under persecution. I thought when we went to Oklahoma, I thought, man, we'll struggle to see a church and find a church and all those things. Well, there's churches out there. There wasn't as many Baptist churches out there as they is here. There's more apostolic churches than anything we've seen. But you know that the few folks that I talked to about the Lord, and we had a great conversation with a waitress
that we ate at, a little old greasy spoon. Bless her heart. She'd been in Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches, and that girl was confused, wasn't she, honey? I mean, more than a termite and a yo-yo going up and down. She was confused. And in 10 minutes of talking to her, just her coming and going, she was struggling to figure out some things. Need to pray for that girl. Her name's Patty. Amen. But you know, when I went out there, I thought, I don't know how receptive people would be just talking to them about the Lord. And it took me 2 nights to get the courage to go up there and talk to the little girl that checked us in at the front desk. And finally on that last night that she was going to be there, I knew it was either do it or it wasn't going to get done. And I really don't know about her salvation, but she was very receptive into taking that track. And I hope she took it and read it. I really do. I hope she did. What I'm coming to the point to is we're not under persecution. Not here. Not here, especially in Southeast Tennessee. We're not under persecution. Paul made a statement right here. He said, I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10 said, for when I am weak, then am I strong. You know, there's no song that starts out that I will draw my strength from Jesus. I'm laying upon His breast. Where are we drawing our strength at tonight? You know, we can't do it in ourselves. You know that in our strength we can't get anything done. But it's going to have to be in His. And to have His power, it's going to take suffering. He said, well, preacher, I've done my share of it. And you may have. You may have done your share of it. But I want you to understand tonight, it may not be sickness. It may not be sickness. It may be in reproaches. It may be in persecution. But whatever it is that comes from Satan to buffet us and to beat on us, just remember that God's grace is sufficient and His strength is made perfect in our weakness tonight. It's not in our power to do it. It's in His power to make it happen tonight. Let's bow our heads across the house. The power of Christ. Don't you want to have it tonight? I guess I started with the hardest one first. Because when we talk about supplication and Scripture and all that, won't be near as tough to get honest. But to say, I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So, Pastor, I'm not a preacher tonight. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. But I'm going to tell you tonight, if you want to accomplish anything for Christ, as much as it's tough for this preacher to say it, then it's through suffering. It is in reproaches. It is in infirmities. It is in necessities and persecutions. He said that when I'm weak. It's in our weakness. When we can't accomplish it ourselves. When we can't defeat the giant ourselves. It's in Him. Again, I'm not telling you to wake up in the morning and say, God, just pour the suffering on me. But I want you to understand tonight that when suffering does show up in your life, do you ever think that Christ just might be using that in your life, that He can put power upon you and do something with you? I don't look at it that way a lot of times. I look at it as why am I going through this? Why is it me? Why am I dealing with this? Why has this happened? That's my flesh. But to understand that for the child of God, that out of suffering comes the power of God and the strength of God that's seen in our life. I don't know what tomorrow holds, And I'm trying to be very careful how I make this statement. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I sure do like having the power of God in my life. And I want it. If you need to come and pray tonight, I want you to come. I can tell you that God in the suffering, no matter what kind it is, it may not be sickness. But whatever it is in the messenger of Satan that is beating on you and buffeting you, you say, I've got to have some strength to get through this. Paul said the Lord told him that my grace is sufficient. No matter what we go through and no matter what we deal with, God's grace is sufficient to bring us through it. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come.